Father, as always, I thank you, Lord, because when we hear your word, it inspires faith in our hearts. It also shines the light in our ways, and it gives us understanding. So let it be this morning. Holy Spirit, the great teacher himself, let him expand unto us the word of life for all the things that are from the beginning, they are yours, and known unto you are all your ways, even from the beginning. We give you praise and glory, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to be talking about today the Messiah, the Prince, and his ministry. We already covered the ministry of John the Baptist. Next was Messiah, the Prince, that he handed over to. There is a prophecy that we covered when we were doing the Understanding Bible Prophecy. The prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. And we want to use that as the basis for this next piece. And he says, the angel appeared to him and told Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. And upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So those are all the things that will happen in those 70 weeks. We have, when we were laying the foundation, we talked about historical hindsight and prophetic foresight. We have historical hindsight now to understand that those 70 weeks were actually weeks of years, because we can look back into history and see and understand how those things happened. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. We're going to be talking about Messiah the Prince today. There shall be 7 weeks. And if that's 7 weeks of years, then you're talking about 7 times 7, which is 49. And then 62 weeks. You know, so again, if you're looking at 62 weeks, you'll be looking at 434 years. And then said, the street shall be built, the wall, and even in troublous times. There were many accounts that we've read in the Bible, the story of Ezra, Nehemiah, etc. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So that's the remaining of those weeks. We add them up. We talked about a split prophecy. It can be split. This one was split. First, the 7 weeks or 49 years. And we know if we go and read the stories in, Ezra, Nehemiah, and so forth, it took them that long to build and to restore Jerusalem. We saw that God also used people like Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes. They were used in carrying out the commandment. But Cyrus was the main man that God said in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 45, God had appointed him and he shall do God's pleasure. And he did. Well, we want to talk about this part that says the Messiah, the Prince, today. We fast forward to the lessons about John the Baptist. We saw how he came and introduced the Christ. The prophecies in Isaiah chapter 40 and also first part of Malachi chapter 3 talks about the forerunner. And we covered that last time. Well, we know that John the Baptist did introduce Jesus Christ and appointed everybody to him. So So basically, he passed the baton unto him. But let's talk about this Christ today. I want to go into prophecies in the Old Testament. You know, because this is all about end time prophecies and how they are fulfilled in our times. You know, so prophecies in the Old Testament that are about Christ and how they were fulfilled in Jesus. Well, Christ and Messiah. The Messiah was going to be the coming Redeemer. That was basically going to deliver Israel from their enemies. That's who the Messiah was supposed to be. Christ is supposed to be the anointed one. And prince is basically the next ruler. That's what a prince means. You know, so when you look at the meanings of those things, Messiah, the Redeemer, and the Restorer of peace and Deliverer for Israel. You look at the word Christ, the Anointed One, and you look at the word Prince, which means really the next ruler, the chosen one. So you put all of that together. I mean, this Messiah, the Prince, will be really something when he came. Well, let's talk about it. Let's take a look at the scriptures. As a matter of fact, the entire Bible centers around this man Christ. From Genesis clear on to Revelation. It would take me 2 weeks or more to cover all of the prophecies from the Old Testament about Christ. But I just picked out a few today to see how if I can quickly cover them in this lesson. We start at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And in this segment, I will give three items. I will give the reference where the prophecy is found. I will give what the prophecy is about. And I will give the fulfillment that we see in Christ. So where it is found in the Old Testament, what it said about him, you know, what it actually says, you know, and then how it is fulfilled. And we're talking about Messiah, the Prince. Now, Genesis chapter 15 talks about the seed of the woman that will bruise the serpent's head. I'm going to go through these very quickly. The seed of the woman was promised right from Genesis 3 and 15. And he was to bruise the head of the serpent. Well, we know the serpent represents the devil. You know, that old serpent, devil, old devil, Bible calls him that. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 tells us that the Lord was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we see that that was fulfilled in Christ. Now, did the Lord destroy the works of the devil or no, or not? Well, he did. And that gives us also confidence and victory in the Lord today because, you know, Jesus himself, when he was on the cross, he said, look, it is finished. And if it is finished, it means the Lord finished the work. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20, the God of peace bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And he did that in Christ. We know that already. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So that's Genesis chapter 3. And verse 15. Well, let's take a look at some of the other things that were said about him in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, and also Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, all nations will be blessed through Abraham's seed. Well, this is what God said to Abraham after the Tower of Babel, that people were trying to make themselves great and God scattered them. But God turned around and picked Abraham, who was not trying to do anything. God picked him, and it was God's selection. And he said, I will bless thee, Genesis 12 and 3. I will bless thee, and I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, it was almost impossible, naturally speaking, for one man who at the time, didn't even have much going for him, not even a child, to be the one that will bring blessing to all the earth. But he was talking about his seed. Let's see a little more about that in Genesis 22 and verse 18. The Lord gave Abraham a test here after he finally had Isaac. He loved that boy so much. It seemed like his life was round around that boy. And you will remember that when God appeared to Abraham and told him that I am your shield and exceeding great reward, Abraham would begin to ask God that to give him a son. Well, God promised Abraham himself, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. But on the other hand, Abraham was asking for a son. So, well, God gave him that son, but you're going to have to bring that son to the altar. Because anything like that takes center place in your life, which that son did, you have to bring it to the altar. And God tested Abraham to bring that son to the altar. Should have chosen the Lord, but he said, look, but I don't have a child, despite what God was promising him of himself. So he had to bring the child to the altar. But thank God that he actually did, pass the test in Genesis 22. He did pass the test. And God told him because he passed the test, here's what he gave to him. Genesis, chapter 22 and verse 18. The Lord promised to Abraham, after that Abraham passed the test, he said, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Well, how was that fulfilled in Christ? Well, Acts chapter 3, verses 25 to 26. On the day of Pentecost, we see that Peter is speaking under the Holy Spirit to all the crowd, the multitudes that gathered around, and he's giving them this great sermon. And here he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 25. He said to them, ye are the children of the prophets and also of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now, therefore, God has sent and raised up his son Jesus to bless you, to be that blessing that he promised in Abraham. So we see that Jesus was that bridge to that covenant, God made in Abraham. This story actually was the story after Peter and John had healed the man at the gate. This was not the day of Pentecost. It was a little later. The day of Pentecost was in chapter 2. This is chapter 3. After they healed the man at the gate of the temple, the lame man and so on, and everybody gathered together and wondered how they did it. And Peter gave this lesson to them. Jesus is the bridge here between the covenant. There are certain covenants. Generally, a covenant is between two parties. Well, there are certain covenants that God made by himself. He made certain covenants by himself, which you know, had no bearing on us at all. Sometimes, yes, you know, there's a covenant that is God will do his part and we have to do our part. But there are certain significant eternal covenants that God made. You know, it had nothing to do with anybody. He did it by himself. And he said, look, I have sworn by myself, you know, that surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. There was no requirement there that, you know, Abraham should sign on the dotted line, you know, for that contract or that covenant to happen. God put it out there by himself. And we know that, you know, even in the things, you know, that relate to the kingdom, we know that the foundation of God standeth sure. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. It has this seal. You know, this one is a two-way covenant. The Lord knows them that are his. That's his part. And our part is letting people that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, so for us to come into the kingdom and all of that, you know, there's actually two parts to it. You know, God knows those who are coming, but let those who claim to be coming, let them depart from iniquity. That's their part as well. But there are these other things that God swore by himself to do without anybody. Yesterday, I talked about God doesn't do anything, doesn't start anything until first he has finished that thing. He finishes the thing first. Then he starts it. And so we see that lesson in Christ was already slain before the world began. And then God began to do things to orchestrate it and make it happen. You know, so he chose us in him before the world began. He finished that already before he even did it. So God finishes everything before he even starts it. And he will start nothing until it's first finished. We read that also in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 11 and so on yesterday, that whatsoever the Lord doeth, you know, it shall be forever. You can't put anything to it. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. The Lord does it to establish, you know, his glory and that people should fear before him. And he goes on to say, look, you know, Ecclesiastes 3 chapter 14. I mean, 3:14, sorry, 14 and 15. And it goes on to say that that which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. So the future is already past, as far as God is concerned. Before he does anything, before he starts it, it's already finished. But then he will unveil it and bring it to pass. You know, so concerning the kingdom of God, and the things that God will set in place, it was finished already. Because once God declared it, it's done. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the things of the earth and so forth. That was already done. And then he begins to bring it into view. And it did happen for a while. Unfortunately, because of the disobedience, we fell from many things. But Christ's role was to recover that. We'll get to that. Let's see the everlasting covenant. You know, I want to get to some of this quickly. Everlasting covenant in Isaac, and all the families of the earth will also be blessed in Jacob's seed and so forth. Genesis 18, 19 and 21 talks about that. Genesis 28 and verse 14 talks about, you know, the blessing again through Jacob's seed. And I'm going to just lead these verses out there and then tell you how they're fulfilled. Genesis 49 and verse 10, the scepter and the lawgiver shall come from Judah, you know, and so forth. And Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17 is called the star of Jacob, you know, and so on. Now, all of that we see is fulfilled when you read the reverse genealogy of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 3. Matthew gives the genealogy of Jesus one way, Luke gives it another way. The way that Luke gives it, he actually gives what I call a reverse genealogy. You know, he says, well, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Being as was supposed, we know he was not the son of Joseph, but people thought, you know, he was. Well, came in that lineage of the house of David, you know. Even Mary herself was of that lineage, which was of the son of, you know, Hilel, and the son of Mattath, and the son of Levi, and the son of Melchi, and so forth. And it just gives the reverse genealogy all the way down to Adam in verse 38, which was the son of God. But along the way here in verses 33, you know, to about 35 or so, you know, we begin to see that, you know, it talks about the son of Aminadab, the son of Aram, the son of Ezron, the son of Phares, the son of Judah, and the son of Jacob, and the son of Isaac, and the son of Abraham. So we see the lineage of Christ being fulfilled in this genealogy, and all the promises to Isaac, I mean to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, that in their seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Fulfilled here in Christ. Moving on, I have a lot of this and I'm not sure how much of it I can cover. You know, some prophecies about Christ coming to do all of the things listed for him in the book. Psalm 40 verses 6 to 8. Talks about Christ, you know, the mission that he would perform was already laid out. Psalm 40 and verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. He said, but my eyes and my ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is fulfilled in my heart, and so on and so forth. And he, you know, this prophecy, even though it didn't look like a prophecy right now, the way it was given, was actually fulfilled in Christ. Because we see that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 10, this prophecy is quoted in reference to Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. We covered this also when we did the study in the book of Hebrews. You know, so I was talking about Christ, you know, being better and being a minister of better things than all those things in the past. And he talked about the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sins. But this man Christ, when he came to the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but the body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, you know, the Lord came, he stepped in, because everything else that they did, those burnt offerings and everything didn't work. So Christ stepped in and he said, it is written in, of me in the volume of the book that I come to do thy will, O God, you know, and so on. And he quoted this same prophecy out of Psalm 40 relating to the Christ. There are many more things that he goes. Here are some more exciting things in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Again, we talked about dual prophecies. You know, there are some prophecies that the psalmist said about himself, but it was really about Christ. Like this one we just read. You know, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Yeah. There was a prophecy there. It was a dual prophecy. It was something literal at the time, but it was supposed to be something also about Christ. You know, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Hallelujah. And he shall bear, say, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call him his name Emmanuel. You know, and he said, butter and honey and all these things. But the child shall he eat, he choose to do good, you know. And the child shall grow, he will know how to refuse evil, will choose the good, and so on. And, you know, but we see that this prophecy, of course, was fulfilled in Christ. In the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel that visited Mary, you know, announced that she was going to have a child. And she was at that time, a virgin, which she thought, well, how could this thing be? You know the story. But he told him that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In Jewish culture, if you are the Son of God, then you are equal to God. That's why many times when they talk to Jesus and said, you know, when Jesus would say, I and my Father were one, they say, well, you know, if he called himself Son of God, they said, well, he makes himself equal to God, and they try to kill him. And Jesus said, why are you trying to kill me? I've showed you many good works. He said, well, for the good works that you did, we don't try to kill you. But you being a man trying to make yourself God, that's why we kill you. Because that's the ultimate blasphemy. Well, that's what they thought. But he was indeed God in human form. Now, those are some prophecies about Christ. Let's see a few more significant ones. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, we're talking about the spirit of knowledge and wisdom that shall be on the Christ and all these things. You know, when he comes. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 to 15, you know, when Christ was born, you know, he said, look, you know, no, that's not the one I wanted to say. One second. Luke chapter 2. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. And verse 47. In Luke chapter 2, verse 47, when he was a young man, and he had traveled with Mary and Joseph to somewhere, and after they finished, they left. They thought he was with the crowd, and they didn't find him. Went back, found him in the temple, asked him, son, why is it that you have dealt thus with us? Luke chapter 2, verse 46. You know, and he said, look, I have to be at my father's business. But what was he doing there? Well, you can read what he was doing there. When they found him not, in Luke chapter 2, verse 45, they turned back to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers, you know. And remember, the spirit of quickness in understanding, the fear of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of might and counsel shall be upon him. It was fulfilled even in the young child. But, you know, he had to develop himself into sonship. We see also that in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, it talks about, you know, the Christ multiple places. It talks about Christ will give light to those in darkness. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Christ would give light to those in darkness. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Well, in the book of Luke chapter 2, verses 29 to 32, we see that the prophecy was again pronounced upon the Christ. There was this man, Simeon, who, when he saw Joseph, Mary bring the child in, you know, to the temple, you know, this man was the one that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It was revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And that day he came into the temple when the parents brought him in to do the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his hands, Luke chapter 2, verse 28, and said, and blessed the Lord and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before for the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel, and so on and so forth. We see how Christ fulfilled the Isaiah 9:2 prophecy that he would be the light to lighten the people. What about Isaiah, you know, chapter 9 and verse 6? Well, before I go to that, Jesus himself was called the light of the world. John chapter 1, verses 6 to 9 says, you know, he is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. That's in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. You know, Christ was the light. John the Baptist himself said, I am not that light, but Christ is the light. And John is reporting here and says, Christ is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus himself made the declaration, I am the light of the world. Well, what about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. You know, and all the powerful things it says about him. The government shall be upon his shoulders. You know, and, you know, the increase of his government and all of that thing, you know, shall have no end. His name shall be called Wonderful, shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, this child to be born is here identified as the Prince. He will be the coming ruler. As we're talking about Messiah, the Prince. He will also be the Mighty God. He will again, the same child will be called the Everlasting Father. All of these things will be called Counselor. We know the counsel of the Holy Spirit. All of these things were fulfilled in Christ. You know, Christ himself, he declared many things about the Father. In John chapter 8, verses 56 to 58, he was talking to the Jews, and they said, well, this and that about Abraham. He said, look, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and when he saw it, he was glad. He said, you're not yet 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? And then he dropped a bombshell and said, before Abraham was, I am, not I was. But he quoted that same eternal reference to God. God is the only one that said, I am that I am. And they took up stones to kill him, because you can't score. You can't use that phrase. You know, only God can use it. But they didn't know that the very eternal spirit of God was tabernacled bodily in the Christ. And he could speak and represent the Father because he carried the spirit not by measure. John chapter 3 and 34. The spirit of God was upon him. The fullness of God was upon him. You see that in the book of Colossians. You know, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And also, you know, the fullness of the, Godhead was upon him bodily. Praise the Lord. Now, we are told here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, that it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. Also in Colossians chapter 2, you know, verse 9, we see that in him dwells the fullness, you know, of the Godhead bodily. And so Christ embodied the Father, the Counselor, you know, he embodied the Mighty God, he embodied the Prince of Peace. It's all in Isaiah 9:6. And the increase of his government, we're told, shall know no end. He will also sit upon the throne of David. Many things that were told in that prophecy. But let me digress a little and talk to us about the son, the baby, and the sonship. You know, here we are told that he will be born as a child. You know, that was a prophecy that was given about the Christ. He will be born as a child, but he will grow up to be a son. So right away we know that, you know, there's going to be some time in his life. He will grow up to be a son of who, you know, and for Christ to be a rabbi in Israel, he actually had to grow up to be 30 years old. And all the things that happened in his life until he was 30, most of it was silent, except for when he was 12, the one we read when he was in the temple, we heard nothing else about him. But the Father had planned it all, that in him will all the fullness dwell. And we see here that the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it and so on, you know. And all these things were fulfilled in Christ. In the book of Matthew chapter 2, we saw already the story in verses 14 and 15. And in fact, you can read the whole, you know, of that chapter for how he was born. I'm sure many of us know this story. You know, we see that Christ was born, was actually born as a, you know, a little child. And the prophecy that he was told, you know, to be taken to Egypt, well, that's found in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. That was one of the, again, dual prophecies. Out of Egypt have I called my son. When Herod wanted to kill all the children, God told Joseph to carry the child with his mother to Egypt. And it says here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15, stay in Egypt until I bring you word again, you know, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So all of these things are being fulfilled in Christ. Now, I'm going to go through this very quickly. Christ would become, would come as the anointed deliverer. He will come as the anointed deliverer. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and anointed me to preach good tidings, you know, to the meek, to the poor, and all these things, recovery of sight, and all that. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. Fulfilled in Christ, in Luke chapter 4, after he came from the wilderness, being tempted of the devil, went to the synagogue, was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah to read, and he found the place where it was written this thing in Isaiah 61, and he narrated it. He stopped short after this acceptable year of the Lord, and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes, or ears, and your eyes too. Luke chapter 14, verses 16, sorry, Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. You know, Christ fulfilled that prophecy of Isaiah 61, and he went about doing it. In fact, in Matthew 11, when John sent to him, said, are you the one that should come? Or should we look for another? Jesus said, well, you know, go tell him what you see. The blind see, the lame hear, the lame walk and deaf hear. And he just, all the things that he was doing relating to Isaiah 61. And, you know, he confirmed it in himself. And likewise also, you know, the Holy Spirit gave record of Christ even after his resurrection. Peter speaking in the house of Cornelius. And other places, John chapter 10, verse 38, how Christ was anointed by God with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing the things that were written in Isaiah 61. So he fulfilled that clearly. In the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, this prophecy says, "For thou, Bethlehem, O Ephrathah, though thou be the least among the cities of the of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor over my people, whose goings forth have been from of old and everlasting." And this was the place that they researched when, you know, the wise men, came saying, "Well, we've seen his star. Who's going to be the king?" And so forth like that. And Herod said, "Well, call all the scribes and go check it out. Where should the Christ be born?" You can read that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. And they found a place in Micah where it was written, this prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And because of that, they said, Christ will be born in Bethlehem. And he was, you know. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Talks about Christ will bring in righteousness and he will save his people. He is also called the offspring, that branch called the righteous branch of David, which will be his offspring. Well, in the book of Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33, we see that Christ was also, they say, prophecy was given over Christ in its fulfillment. Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 33. He says, the angel told Mary, "Fear not, you found favor with God. You will conceive and you bring forth a son and you call his name Jesus. But he shall be great," and so on and so forth. "And he will do all these things." And, you know, those prophecies were pronounced over Christ. "You call his name Jesus." In other places he said, "Because he shall save his people from their sin. And he shall be called the son of the highest. And the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David." So we see all those prophecies tying back even to Isaiah 9:6, that he will sit on the throne of his father David to establish it and to order it, fulfilled in the Christ. And then, you know, what about Revelation chapter 22, verse 16? Jesus himself saying, "I am the root and the offspring of David." Offspring of David here is the same thing as a righteous branch, a branch out of the stem of Jesse and out of the branch, David and so on. So Jeremiah 23:5-6 also fulfilled in Revelation 22 and 16. And then I want to get to the more interesting parts, which I'll probably do tomorrow, but I'm going to lay a foundation here today. The messenger of the covenant or of the promise. What we've done so far is just establish all the prophecies that are fulfilled in Christ. But here is one in Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. John the Baptist and the Christ wrapped up in that same prophecy. "Behold," you know, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, you know, we know that, verses 1 and 2, we know that John the Baptist was also foretold in Isaiah 40. But let's read Malachi 3 quickly, verse 1. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant who ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. But who shall abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he shall be like a refiner's fire," you know, and so forth. "And he will sit and purify the sons of Levi, purge them as silver and gold, you know, that they may offer unto the Lord." He's going to make a new priesthood out of them. "Purge them and turn them into the priesthood of righteousness." You know, so here, this Malachi 3 is talking about John the Baptist and Christ. We're going to talk more about Christ being the messenger of the covenant. Now, this was one covenant, not the other covenant, but this is the one covenant that God did by himself. He didn't need anybody. to do it. You know, he made a covenant before the world even began. You know, he put it out there. You know, he said, look, we're going to make the man in our image, and they are going to come into our likeness, and they will have dominion. Put it out there. Of course, that was lost. It was, you know, exercised for a bit, but then it was lost. And it was important for that to be fulfilled. Well, what will be the role of the Christ in fulfilling that? We're going to get to that perhaps in the next lesson. But this, you know, messenger of the covenant, who is also called Messiah the Prince, he is to come and do many things. Now, there is the covenant is also the promise that he made. You know, but he made that promise by himself. You know, Jesus alluded to the promise in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, said the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Well, what was it that the Father really promised? Well, he promised it in many places. He promised it in the book of Joel, chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, Peter himself quoted it on the day of Pentecost. Well, Jesus said, the promise of the Father, which you heard of me, is the Holy Ghost. And in many scriptures, which we will get to later tomorrow, Jesus showed how the Holy Ghost will be the beginning, you know, of, you know, the expression, the fullness of that kingdom within us. And, you know, but I want to read quickly here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. When he's called the messenger of the covenant, what was his message? That's going to be what I will get to more deeply tomorrow. What was his message really? And what was his purpose? Well, if you are a messenger, you carry a message. And you better deliver, you know, that message. You know, Jesus was the messenger of the covenant. And what was the message? It was the messenger of the promise. What was the promise? Contrary to what we thought or have thought for forever, that the purpose for which Christ came was to die on the cross. I will show by the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, that it was a whole lot more than that. Yes, that was something he had to do, but that was a means to an end. There was more to it than that, that he came to do. As a matter of fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to read a few of those scriptures right now. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, after that Jesus had, you know, been tempted and all of that. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, you know, and from that time, you know, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, that was the first, you know, introduction of himself. The first words out of his own mouth about himself, about what he came to do. I mean, it's kind of like you put out your mission statement. What was his mission statement? Well, to introduce the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, you will notice that from the time he started to preach, he wasn't exactly saying, well, the Son of Man is come to die for your sins. We know that. But he wasn't saying that. He was saying, well, you better turn around, you know, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was heralding, John was heralding him, and he was heralding the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to talk about why that is so important. Jesus spoke more about the kingdom of heaven than he spoke about his death on the cross. He spoke about his death on the cross just two or three times here and there. But most of the time, he spoke about that to psych himself up. You know, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And he prophesied to himself, you know, and so forth like that. But he spoke about the kingdom of heaven at length, all over the place. And we will examine some of the things that he said. You know, but for a quick high-level summary right now. You know, we'll see. I'm just going to talk about what he began to do. Also in Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, after he finished from the synagogue, after he made that declaration that we already covered, you know, he went out and began to do certain things. And then the people came to him. Well, let's pick up this story in Luke chapter 4. Because this is the, we're now getting into the interesting part. You know, when the sun was setting, Luke chapter 4 verse 40, they brought unto him people that had different diseases and so on and so forth. And he healed them all. And, you know, then cast out many devils and different things. And then when he was there, he departed into a certain place, a desert place. You know, he always tried to do that, to go and pray and refresh. And the people came unto him and tried to prevent him from leaving them. They stayed him and said, don't depart from us. And here is what he said unto them in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And again, telling us his mission statement. Therefore am I sent to preach the kingdom of God. Luke called the kingdom of God. Matthew called the kingdom of heaven. Same thing. And I began to preach. The things that I began both to do and to preach were the things that Luke reported. You know, so you can see how Jesus was focused on the kingdom. And we're going to be talking about it. What was his, now that we have established that he was Messiah the Prince, what was his message? Because he was supposed to be the messenger of the covenant. What message did he come to deliver? You know, and you can see in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus talked more also about the kingdom. He said, look, fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In Luke chapter 22, verse 29, Jesus said, look, I confer unto you a kingdom because my Father conferred it to me, so I confer it unto you. I mean, most of his preaching was around that. I mean, what about Matthew chapter 13? The whole chapter talking about parables of the kingdom. I'm not going to get into that today. What about Matthew chapter 20? More parables of the kingdom. What about Matthew chapter 25? More parables of the kingdom. What about Mark chapter 4? Parables of the kingdom. What about Luke chapter 19? Parables of the kingdom. I mean, in many of these places, we'll cover some of them in deeper, go into deeper depth. Yes, I mean, tomorrow, Jesus, his message was focused on introducing the kingdom. And there was a reason. He had to restore what Adam lost. Remember, God doesn't start any. This is the reason I said this yesterday, among other things, to prepare us for this. God doesn't start anything unless he has first finished that thing. So he finished it first, and then he starts it. You know, that may seem counterintuitive to us, but that's how God works. First, it is done. Everything is finished. Then he begins to start the thing that he already finished. You know, that may sound strange, but that's how it works. The lamb was slain before the world began. He finished it already. Then he begins to do the thing. You know, he put our book, our names in the book of life before the world even began. He finished it already. Then he began to call us at different times when we come into the world. I mean, he finished the thing first before he even started it. Well, it was finished in God's mind that God would establish his kingdom upon the earth, and that Christ, he would be the prince. You know, is the next, a prince is called the next ruler. Well, that's really what the prince is. The one that's been prepared to take over the kingdom. You know, when we were doing the understanding Bible prophecy, we talked about the prophecies of the Messiah, Christ in Daniel chapter 2, and also Daniel chapter 7. And let's look at those very quickly. In Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, the prophecy that Christ will reign over all kingdoms, the kingdoms of the world, that Christ will dominate them and reign over them. Daniel chapter 2 verse 43, we see Daniel explaining the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, which he himself also dreamt. And he explained all of it, and he came down to verse 43 and said, in the days of these kings, you know, Nebuchadnezzar being the head, you know, then we got Medo-Persia, then we got the Grecian, then we got the Roman, and all that, we got all those things, and the clay, and the iron, and mixed with clay in the toes, and so forth. We covered that before. Now, he said, Daniel chapter 2, and verse 43, and in the days of these kings, or kingdoms, there's no king without a kingdom, and there's no kingdom without a king. In the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Well, the prince of that kingdom is called Messiah the Prince, and we are going to talk about him in greater detail and what that kingdom looks like. Also in Daniel chapter 7, this same Daniel saw another vision. And in verses 13 and 14 and verse 27, here is what he said. He said, I, Daniel, saw in the night visions. He saw a few things. Behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near him. And there was given unto him, the Son of Man, dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And you drop down to verse 27 here, and it says, we talked about the little horn in verses 21 and 22 that made war against the saints and so forth. And all of that. And then it talks here, verse 27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. Now, this is whole heaven. There's no escape from one end of heaven to the other. One end under the heaven to the other. Everything under the whole heaven. Remember, God placed the firmament to divide the waters above from the waters beneath. And everything underneath, he called the thing above, called the firmament heaven, and he called the ones underneath, the earth, especially after he commanded the waters to be gathered and the dry land should appear, called that the earth. And he said, look, in Psalm 115, I've referred to this multiple times, but it's pivotal to our lesson. In Psalm 115, here is what he says about these divisions, that we are talking about. He says, the heaven, even the heavens, Psalm 115 verse 16, are the Lord's. So he put that division out there. But the earth has he given to the children of men. But this earth has been corrupted. It always been corrupted. Corrupted in the beginning, and God decided to destroy it with the flood. We covered that yesterday. But after a while, I said, I'm not going to destroy it with the flood again. Well, he will change things up, though. He may purge it with fire, but not with flood again. But he's going to bring forth a new heaven and a new earth. And what's going to happen? All everything that's under the whole heaven is called the earth. And those kingdoms that are there will be, he said the kingdom, dominion under the whole heaven will be given to this prince and his people forever. And we fast forward and we see that Jesus, standing before Pilate, he said, look, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my citizens would fight. And Pilate says, Are you a king then? He said, well, thou sayest, you know, for this purpose did I come. And finally, when we fast forward, we see that at the end of the age, the final analysis after in the book of Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, when the seventh angel sounded, what do we see? Well, we see that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. That's fulfilled in Christ at the end. But what happens in between? That's what we're going to find out in this lesson. Let me quickly read to us the conversation, some or part of the conversation of Jesus before Pilate in John chapter 18. Let's look at, a few verses there. How Jesus himself, you know, he said this thing. And there are many prophecies that I didn't have time to go over. I mean, prophecies of thy king coming unto thee on a colt and so on and so forth. When they were calling him Hosanna, you know, coming in the name of the Lord, you know, and so on. So there are many prophecies about the Christ. I just had to, you know, abbreviate some of them. But here's what Jesus said, you know. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. John 18 and verse 36. This was standing before Pilate. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Then I would not have been delivered unto the Jews. But now it's my kingdom, not from hence. And so Pilate said, oh, you're talking about kingdom? Are you a king then? You know, and then Jesus said, look, thou sayest with your own mouth that I am a king. To this end, hallelujah, was I born. And for this cause came I into the world. So, you know, this is how Jesus is characterizing his own, how he came to the world. To be the king. So for this end, I was born. You know, the means to that were the cross. The cross was what he would use to redeem everything back. But that was not the ultimate thing. That may seem like sacrilege to some people, but that was not the ultimate thing. You know, because even after the cross, you know, there were things that Christ was still doing, still to let the people know that something was coming. You know, like when he was going to the cross, he prayed, Father, don't take them away from the world, but keep them here. There's something they got to do. And Jesus said, look, I came into this world that I should bear witness unto the truth. He's referring to him being messenger of the covenant. A messenger of the covenant. There's a covenant, which is the truth, which God established from the beginning by himself. Didn't need anybody, you know. And Jesus said, I come to bear witness of that. He's the messenger of the covenant. And everyone that is of the truth will hear my voice as I report things as I see them. You know, so this, and then Pilate said, what is the truth then? You know, and so on. So this is what Jesus came to do. In John chapter 6 and 8, Jesus was talking to the Jews about many things, you know, and he told them that, look, there is, you know, he was talking in John chapter 6, he was telling them about, you know, that he himself will be, you know, the true bread from heaven, you know. And here's what he said, the ransom that he came to pay. Because it's like we pay, you know, it's like people pay hijackers ransom these days. Hijack, and then they demand a ransom. Well, you know, the devil hijacked everything. He said, look, all these things are delivered unto him. Jesus didn't argue with him, but Jesus had a plan to pay the ransom. Actually, it was the Father's plan to pay the ransom. And he said, look, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. John chapter 6 and verse 51. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world, or the ransom to get the world back, to get the kingdom back. You know, so, and Jesus had a plan and he did it. Now we're going to be talking more about that. You know, this In this lesson, I've laid the foundation of many prophecies, you know, in the Bible, you know, that in the Old Testament, to the effect of who Christ would be when he comes, you know, and there are many more, but I had to skip some of them, because of the, of time, you know, so many places that we have seen how that the scripture predicted things about the Christ, and then the, scriptures that fulfill these things in Christ, we've seen those as well. We've shown by evidence of the scriptures that the same Jesus was the very Christ. And some of those, you know, some of those apostles, you know, they knew how to present their argument and prove by the scriptures that Jesus was the very Christ. They did that at many times. You know, so Jesus is the Christ. And many of the prophecies were fulfilled about him. But tomorrow I want to show the part of his ministry as the messenger of the covenant. What was the message that he carried? You know, the message of John, you know, that he said, look, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that was only part of the things that Christ came to do. But unfortunately, we have focused on it as if that was the only thing. Now, Jesus himself said those things, you know, but that was not the only thing he said. He said many other things. John reported it as Jesus saying it, but that was not the only thing he said. He talked about the light. He talked about him being himself being the light of the world. He talked about himself being the savior of the world. And he talked about, you know, the kingdom that he came to represent. He tried to coach us on all the things, how we behave and how things are done in the kingdom. I say to you that things were done like this in the past, but now in this kingdom, here's how we do it. You have heard of them said in the past that such and such, but here's how we do it now. And he taught the people even how to pray, you know, in the kingdom. Don't worry about these things. You know, your father knows you have need of all these things. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added. They will be focused on it and focused on it and focused on it. You know, so we're going to go into that in a little more depth. Let me quickly read a story here in Matthew chapter 21, verse 9. I'm going to wrap it up after this. One of the other prophecies and things like that, that I couldn't get into all of them because there's so many in the scriptures. But I'm sure the Holy Spirit will be, you know, will be revealing it even unto you. Praise the Lord. You know, so the prophet said in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 24. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt of a fowl of an ass. You know, and they went and spread the garments and so forth. And finally they said, you know, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the people say, who is this? And I said, well, Jesus. And people, multitude said, well, he is the prophet, you know, of Nazareth of Galilee. People thought he was of one thing or the other. People called him many things. Sometimes they called him prophet. Sometimes they called him the Christ. Sometimes they called him the son of David. But it was all those things. You know, so I'm going to leave that lesson there right now. I looked at the time. Time is really fast spent. I'm going to leave it there for today. We're going to wrap it up there. And by the grace of God, we're going to go into the messenger of the covenant tomorrow. What the covenant really is, what it really came to do. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, that's going to be our lesson today. Praise the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for the lessons that we have seen in the scriptures, indicating to us that Jesus was indeed the very Christ. Hallelujah. And how he fulfilled many of these things that we have seen in the scriptures. Glory to God. And thank you, Father, that he is our Savior and our Redeemer. And in him, we live, we move, and we now have our being. And we are so thankful that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, even before the world began. We rejoice in your salvation, O Lord, and we rejoice in the things that we are yet to hear, the message of the covenant, which Christ came to deliver. Blessed be thy name, O God. Prepare our hearts to hear these things in Jesus' name. Let me quickly read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Holy Spirit said, go back and read it, you know, before I finish up. The prophecy I gave in that was fulfilled in Christ in Matthew 21 is written, is given out of Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king, you know, cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt of a foal of an ass. Jesus fulfilled that when he told his disciples to go and get a donkey for him to ride into Jerusalem. You know, so many, many prophecies about him. Many exciting things coming our way. God bless you all. That's our lesson for today. I'm going to yield my mic. Hallelujah.